Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom Portable Speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights because, let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How is everyone this morning? I hope you are having a great start to your week. I know it's probably just kind of like really started off, but I hope everyone is still having a good start to your week. So, Todd is not here. We're going to talk, but there's a lot to talk about. And Todd will be gone, as I said, all week. And there's something I was supposed to read to you about where Todd is, but I have to find it because they just texted it to me. And so, here it is. we're very organized. Todd speaking all this week in Los Angeles at the Spiritual Leadership Conference. That's fantastic. And how perfect after this weekend, right? Especially yesterday. I'll be sharing a lot of that with you for those of you who maybe didn't get to sit and watch the whole thing or listen to the entire memorial. I did anchor it for yesterday for another station. And so I heard it all. And I can't bring you all of it, but I cherry picked some pieces that I thought you might be interested in to hear about from Charlie Kirk's memorial yesterday. So you can catch me on X at Mary Walter Radio. That's Mary Walter Radio. And you can also catch my podcast. Todd has been on my podcast more than once. Ben Dieter has been on my podcast. Grace had been on my podcast. Those names you remember, right? All have been on there. It is live tomorrow night, 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. And it is live on Rumble, YouTube, Getter. It's a live cast. You can leave questions, comments. And then the audio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker as well. Just look for Mary Walter Radio everywhere. And you will find it, hopefully, just Mary Walter Radio. Okay, so now that we've done that, let's talk a little bit about yesterday. You know, yesterday was the memorial for Charlie Kirk, and I've seen a lot of comments on social media, good and bad. I will give you my feelings. Now, remember, I sat through the entire thing. So I did hear it all. And there were some moments when I kind of like punched out a little bit. It started off with you had Reverend Rob McCoy speaking, and he said that, well, Charlie always said that I was his pastor, but I don't know about that, which I thought was interesting. And he started off with that, and his son also spoke, and his daughter-in-law did not speak, and some other members of Turning Point USA, some of the younger people spoke. You had also some members, you know, of some of the philanthropy arms of Turning Point USA speak as well. You had Dr. Ben Carson speak. Also, a Christian author named Frank Turek spoke. And I'm sure you've seen his comments, but he was in the car with Charlie when they were rushing him to the hospital. And he talked about the chaos of that moment. And he also said that Erica wanted him to recount the story and tell everyone that he said, I was looking at Charlie's face, but Charlie was looking at me, but he wasn't looking at me. His eyes were open, but he was looking past me, and he was looking at the face of God. And he said, you know, Charlie was gone immediately. And I think we kind of all knew that. He did say that they came in at one point and said, we have a pulse, but it didn't last long. And the only reason that happened was because Charlie was so young. That's why they were able to get some kind of pulse. Now, he did not say that yesterday. I saw that in a video that he put out, and it was very powerful, obviously. So we'll play some of this for you today. Now, I'm sure you heard that there was a guy who was arrested Friday inside a State Farm stadium for allegedly posing as a police officer. His name was Joshua Runkles. Now, we all heard that and we're like, of course, of course. This isn't a surprise, right? So they now say that they do not believe he was attempting anything nefarious. However, the advance was not done in proper coordination with Turning Point USA Security or U.S. Secret Service. His name is Joshua Runkles, 42 years old, and he was allegedly carrying a knife, a gun, and expired law enforcement credentials when he was stopped inside the arena. That's dangerous. Now, this was before the exterior perimeter was put up, so he was there very early. He reportedly told Secret Service agents he was at the site to provide private security, and he handed them this faulty ID badge, faulty police badge, and his ID. It was expired. So his credentials were expired, which of course raises a ton of red flags. He was booked into Maricopa County Jail for impersonating a law enforcement officer and carrying a weapon into a prohibited place. He was later released on an unspecified bond, but an investigation is ongoing. He holds a concealed carry permit in North Carolina. He's a former Idaho deputy sheriff, a federal source told Fox, but in court documents, these court documents stated that he is not associated with or employed by a sheriff's office, despite what the badge and the ID card suggested. Now, we know that he was there working for a known guest at the memorial. So this is someone who is also obviously very well known. They did not name that guest, but this person is so important that this guy was doing private security for this person ahead of the event. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, my heart sank when I heard this, but I feel better knowing that, he was just, you know, advanced security for someone who is far more important than you or I. And that's what he was doing there. Now, listen, during the show, if you want to comment, if you watched the events and you want to talk about it, you can 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, K-W-A-M. All right. So if you want to, and here's the thing, I just ask that we have a respectful conversation. I always ask this. I always, you know, say, hey, can we do this respectfully? Can we just have a conversation? Please don't yell at each other. I always say that, you know, it's something Charlie always said, and I was a big fan of Charlie Kirk. I watched a lot of his videos, but I don't think we get anywhere by yelling at each other. So if you want to call up and say, you know, I hated Charlie Kirk, whatever, that's fine. But we'll have an exchange, okay? We'll have an actual exchange. How does that sound? Okay. All right. So I want to go. We're going to start to work our way through some of this audio that we have here, because there's a lot of it. And I want to go to, you know, first of all, I want to start out with cut one, because this is Bill Maher, and Bill Maher had Alex Wagner and Joe Manchin on his show. And you'll hear Alex Wagner on this, and they were talking, this is on Friday, and he was talking about the Emmy Awards, and Bill Maher was calling out the Emmys for not saying anything about Charlie Kirk. And I think he's right. And every now and then Bill Maher, you know, like he really does try to walk the middle. I mean, he's still very liberal, but I think he's an old school liberal in the real meaning of the word liberal. That's what I think he is. So, you know what, I'm going to do a coming back, because it's a little bit of a long clip. So we'll get to a coming back. But so I'll share this with you with Alex Wagner and Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, I guess I love that he called out the Emmys. He called out Hollywood. And I think it's delicious. I think it's absolutely wonderful and fantastic. So we'll play that coming up. But first, I want to tell you that if you love this country and you're concerned about the direction that we're headed in, I got to tell you, there's something you can do right now. You can join AMAC. It's the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that built this nation: faith, family, freedom, and common sense. AMAC members get some great benefits. You get deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs. Also, exclusive member resources and a subscription to the AMAC magazine. It's one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. And the best part? You can join for as little as $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. So go to amac.us/starns and join the fight to keep America strong. More coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's more important today than ever. It's called Freedom Chat, a next-gen messaging app designed for people who still believe in privacy and free speech. The team just launched their alpha version, and it's available today on both Android and iPhone, and I'd like you to download it right now. Unlike the so-called free apps that spy on you, sell your data, Freedom Chat was built with your privacy first. Your messages are end-to-end encrypted. They're not stored on servers. Even screenshots are blocked. No tracking, no mining, no listening in. Just private communication the way it ought to be. And here's something I especially like. Freedom Chat has no ties to big tech. It's built by people that I trust, and you should too. I believe in it so much, I've created my own private channel inside Freedom Chat at Todd Starnes, which you can subscribe to. That's freedomchat.com, where freedom still means something. Freedomchat.com.
I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. We're talking about yesterday's memorial for Charlie Crockett. It was watched around the world. I have friends in England who, she was just riveted watching it, and it was much later there for them. And I saw posts from everywhere, like I said, from all around the world, memorials, etc. I think that this is, I hate to say a turning point, but to me, and you can disagree with me, maybe it's the same for you, but a week ago Wednesday, when Charlie was shot, I was so angry. I was in the car, and I got so angry about it, and I was just so mad, and I just somehow knew that he was gone. Like, I just knew in it, and I was just, I actually had to pull over just because I was driving so aggressively because I was so angry and so mad, and I just pulled over, and I had errands to run, and I just went home. I had to get home, And I know a lot of people felt the same. Now, I've had met Charlie, and I had, when I was working in Washington, D.C. So, you know, I not that I was a friend or anything like that. I would never say that I was not a friend. But I think for anybody, it was just shocking. It's amazing how it touched so many people and enraged and hurt so many people for someone that they never met, but we all felt like we really knew. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know, this is kind of like my generation's, my generation's RFK, JFK, MLK assassinations, right? Because we didn't have that. So, I mean, imagine what it was like, God, for our parents and, you know, et cetera, that it was, you know, I can't imagine having three, you know, in a couple of years in your lifetime. All right, let's go to Bill Maher. Bill Maher stepping up to the plate on his show Real Time on Friday evening. And he had Alex Wagner with him and also Joe Manchin. And Alex Wagner's on CNN or MSNBC. I want to say MSNBC, but I could be wrong. So feel free to correct me. And I give, every now and then, I got to give Bill Maher full credit. He is a liberal in the old sense of the term. He's not a leftist. He's a liberal. Here he is talking about the Emmys and their choice to not even mention Charlie Kirk.
They believe in not talking to members of your family. I mean, at the Emmys, would it have killed someone to get up there, since they all want to talk about their politics? Would it have killed somebody to get up there, not give a speech about how much they like Charlie Kirk, just to say, we had a political assassination this week, and that's wrong, and we should... They would have been booed off the stage because he was on the wrong team. So you're not even allowed to say that. Can you imagine if a left-wing person was assassinated that week? The whole show would have been about that. Is that not true? Can't you admit that?
I think this needs, the Charlie Kirk assassination needs to be reframed as an issue of how our democracy actually functions and survives. We cannot be assassinating people who are different from us, who believe different things, full stop. Charlie Kirk's assassination is as bad for Democrats as it should be for as it is for Republicans. It is not okay. Sure. Okay?
Yeah.
And like everybody needs to get on that same page. And you do not have to agree with what he said or what he believed in, but you have to mourn what his death represents.
Yeah.
Right? And that is not a good
thing. And him as a human.
Yeah. And him as a human. But Bill Maher's right. You know, he said that these are, they believe in not talking to members of your own family, right? Like, if you, and we've all experienced that. I'm sure we experienced it during the election, whether it was 2016 and then 2020 and then 2024, where the lines just get drawn and they get bigger and bigger and they get taller and taller. And you're just eventually not speaking to family members on the other side. COVID did that for us. There's family members that I every now and then will text with, and that's it. And only because I have to. So, you know, I think Bill Maher is right here. So kudos to Bill Maher. And I don't know if Alex Wagner really meant it or she just said what she thought she knew she had to say, like a little bit of lip service there. And remember, if you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. I think people want to talk about the memorial last night. So let's move on to that. So Dr. Ben Carson spoke, as I said. You also had Tulsi Gabbard who spoke, and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Ted Cruz did not speak. Marco Rubio spoke. Also there was Ted Cruz was there. Pam Bondi was there. Like everyone you can imagine in the cabinet. They took two plane loads of people. I saw Dan Bongino there. Glenn Beck was there. Matt Walsh was there. Eric Trump, Jared Kushner. It was Pete Hegseth was there. He spoke. It was interesting seeing. It was a big moment. And again, I don't like to give too much. I don't like to read too much into things, but I think sometimes at events like that, it's kind of what you do, maybe a little bit, because you're looking for a meaning, you're looking for a why. I think that's something that's natural human nature. Why? Why did this happen? And we want to find a reason to have it make sense. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But the world saw Donald Trump and Elon Musk sitting next to each other and talking. Now, Musk was not in that area with Dana White and Donald Trump and Eric Trump and the rest of the Trump clan. He was not in there behind the bulletproof glass, but he did come in from wherever he was sitting. And he sat there and he spoke with Donald Trump. And that was something that Charlie Kirk had always said he wanted. He always said that he always wanted to bring them together. He always thought it was best that Donald Trump and Elon Musk work together, that they were better together, that the whole was better than the sum of the parts. And those are two pretty genius parts. And I agree with him. I really, it really made me sad when Elon started it, you know, all of his antics. That made me very, very sad. However, I do think that, I think Elon maybe a little, you know, maybe a little on the spectrum. And I'm not saying that, Matt, you know, in a bad way, because I think there are some insanely genius people who are just socially, just lack certain social skills. And I don't know. I think God giveth and God taketh away. So if you're like a genius smart, maybe you're not as good socially. And so he doesn't have that chip to tell him when not to post certain things. But Donald Trump does too, to a certain extent. Donald Trump doesn't have that chip either for a certain extent. Okay, so coming up, I do have a lot from Donald Trump because he went on. He took probably what was a 20-minute teleprompter speech, and then it just ad-libbed it into 40 minutes, right? Because that's what Donald Trump does. And he kind of went off the rails a little bit and went into a little electioneering, which I campaigning a little bit, mode a little bit, and I was like, that kind of bothered me. But I also have Don Jr., who actually brought a little humor. Also, Marco Rubio brought a little humor, but I didn't bring you a lot of the clips because I did figure that a lot of you did listen to it or watch it. And of course, I have something from Elon Musk that I thought was brilliant. And of course, very famously, Erica Kirk, what she had to say. So as I said, I'll take your calls throughout this, 901-260-5926. One of the things very quickly is Larry Arn, that's his name, Dr. Larry Arn. He's the president of Hillsdale College. And he told us, He told the story about how Charlie Kirk took over 30 online courses there. He studied things that he wanted to know. And he just didn't audit them. He passed the exams. He got a certificate. And he would take a picture of himself with the certificate of having passed the course and email it, send it to Dr. Arne. So he was a huge supporter of that. So good for Charlie. I think that that's fantastic. All right, we have so much more coming up. You're listening to The Todd Stern Show.
It was nearly 2 years ago that terrorists murdered more than 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostage. Today, it seems as if the cries of the dead and dying have been drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred, and the most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust has been forgotten. Yet, as the world looks away, a light shines in the darkness. It's a movement of love and support for the people of Israel called Flags of Fellowship, and it's organized by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And on October 5th, just a few weeks away, millions across America will prayerfully plant an Israeli flag in honor and solidarity with the victims of October 7th, 2023, and their grieving families. And now you can be a part of this movement, too. Get more information about how you can join the Flags of Fellowship movement. Visit the fellowship online at ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
Welcome back to this Todd Stern Show live from the Liberty University studios. I am Mary Walter sitting in for Todd, and we are discussing yesterday's memorial for Charlie Kirk. It was really touching. And listen, I'm going to say I'm not evangelistic or whatever. I'm Catholic. So a lot of that stuff was very different for me. A lot of the, you know, the stand up and all this other stuff, like, that's not what we do. So there was some of it that was a bit much for me, but it wasn't about me. It wasn't geared for me. It was geared for Charlie and his family and his wife and what she wanted. And so, you know, and I'm sure, listen, if you're not Christian, that probably wasn't for you either, right? But it was about Charlie. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926 is my number if you would like to join me. All right, so let's go to, Kash Patel. Kash Patel made an announcement yesterday on X, because that's where we make all our announcements now. We post it on X, right? And here's what he said. We are examining every facet of this assassination. We are meticulously investigating theories and questions, including the location from where the shot was taken, the possibility of accomplices, the text message confession and related conversations, Discord chats, the angle of the shot and bullet impact, how the weapon was transported, hand gestures observed as potential signals near Charlie at the time of his assassination. And we've seen that. If you watch the video from the side, right, from the side, Charlie's left side, you can see two of his handlers behind him. And one of them has a baseball cap on and he's holding a cell phone. And it looks like he's, you know, like filming himself. But he hits the hat and his arm. It almost looked like he was telling somebody to steal third. It was very weird. It was very, very weird. And he said, oh, there was no conspiracy. I was just on my phone. You know, I was FaceTiming my kids. Maybe he was, but it was weird. So listen, maybe it's nothing. Who knows? I don't know. But I did think it looked weird. And a lot of people did point that out on social media. And they're also investigating visitors to the alleged shooter's residence in the hours and days leading up to September 10th of 2025. He added that while some details are known today, law enforcement agencies are still pursuing others to ensure every possibility is considered. Our primary focus is to complete this investigation and deliver justice. To protect the integrity of the investigation and subsequent prosecution, we cannot release every piece of information we have to the public right now. Of course. He also addressed questions about a plane. Now, I didn't hear this. This is the first I heard of this. I didn't hear this. Maybe you did. There was a plane that allegedly turned off its transponder after it departed near Orem, Utah, which is where Kirk was shot. He said, we can share updates about the plane when answers are confirmed. After interviews with the pilot and consultation with the FAA, we determined the transponder was not turned off. Incomplete flight data in rural areas causes this apparent gap. The entire FBI mourns the loss of Charlie Kirk. We will not rest until justice is served, and our investigation into this assassination will continue until every question is answered. I did not see Kash Patel there. But as I said, I saw Dan Bongino there. You know what is interesting? So you had the president and the vice president in the same place, which like never happens. This is like a huge deal. This was a big, big deal. And so, of course, they don't like them together. They don't travel together. God forbid something happens. And I thought, oh, that makes Mike Johnson the designated survivor. Because there's up there, you have a designated survivor. It's a real thing. You have the line of succession. And then I see Mike Johnson behind the bulletproof glass in the room with Donald Trump, like in that area, that section with Donald Trump. I'm like, no, Mike Johnson's there too. So I had to go look it up. And so after that, it goes to the Senate pro tem, which is Chuck Grassley. I did not know that. So had something happened, again, God forbid, and thank God it didn't. Had something happened, it would have been Chuck Grassley. It would have been President Chuck Grassley. How wild is that? Crazy. Also outside, there was video of Secret Service. They had the snipers. You could see the guns up on the roof. And you could see this. Everybody turned around and started waving at them. And they started chanting USA, USA. And the guys stood up and they were fist pumping and waving back. And so I think it was a very, very, very secure, obviously. So kudos to all the law enforcement that were involved in that. All right, I want to share with you before we go to the audio. The New York Times did an interview with Erica Kirk on Thursday, eight days after her husband had been shot. This woman is the most, she is the toughest woman I can't imagine. I can't imagine the grace and the strength. And I don't know, either you, I guess maybe you have it or you don't. I thank God I've never been in that position. I don't know what it would be like, but she's so blessed. She's incredible. Charlie chose well, I will say that. So here, I just picked pieces of the interview to share with you. She said that she is, they say she spoke in a composed voice while fighting through tears. She acknowledged her struggle to make sense of an unfathomable tragedy. She said, I'm allowing myself to feel this so deeply without medication, without alcohol. The Lord is giving me discernment. Around her neck, she was wearing the pendant of St. Michael that her husband was wearing when he was shot. Now, she was apparently Catholic, or is apparently Catholic. Charlie was not, but yet he was wearing the St. Michael medal. And that's fine. We don't care. We share our saints with anybody. The medics had ripped it from his body while attempting to stop the bleeding, and a trace of blood still remained in the crevice of the shape of the cross in the cross on his St. Michael medal. The bathroom floor of the condo where she was still littered with towels from her husband's last shower there a little more than a week ago. She said, to this day, I can't go into my bedroom. I'm rotating where I sleep. Can't imagine. President Trump had called her twice since the shooting in those 8 days. And she said, Charlie was like a son to him. And when the president said, just let us know how we can support you, I told him, my husband just loved conversing with you and using you as a sounding board for all sorts of things. Could we continue that? And he said, of course. She said the president's tone was soft and embracing. I could tell he wanted to hug me. And he did that yesterday. She was just clinging to him. And, you know, Donald Trump I think he was great with her. I really do. Seeing him hug her like that, I was just crying. And here I am on the air. So I'm trying super hard not to get emotional, right? Like I can't do that. But watching it later, I was like, oh, so emotional. She gave that 15-minute speech that was live streamed 2 days after her husband had been murdered. And she said she did that. She did it live. They urged her to record it ahead of time, and she insisted on doing it live. She said, because that's what Charlie would do for sure. Now, on the evening that Charlie went to Utah, he and his wife met for dinner in the Phoenix area with a friend who was a faith leader. They lived in Phoenix. And the purpose was to pray together over Charlie starting his tour of about 20 college campuses. And both she and the friend were worried. Charlie had received numerous death threats over the past year and had been traveling with a security team for months. Over dinner, she said she implored her husband to start wearing a bulletproof vest. He said no, and so the friend suggested that he speak behind bulletproof glass. And Charlie said, not yet. And what's interesting is I thought he had a bulletproof vest on because someone had said, and it looked like the bullet had hit in the upper, like he was going for the heart and the bullet, he aimed high. The bullet had deflected off of something like the top of a bulletproof vest and went into his neck. That's, and I refused to go back and look and watch it. I saw it once. That's all I needed to see. Didn't know I was going to see it. It was very shocking. And I wish I had never seen it. But that's what I had thought. It made sense when I heard that explanation, but apparently not. He was not wearing a bulletproof vest. He would not use bulletproof glass. He said he felt confident in his team and that there would be additional security at the Utah event. But several of his subordinates, Charlie's coworkers, had occasionally heard him imply that his life could be cut short by violence, and she found herself wondering if a part of him had already surrendered to such a prospect. Now, she was supposed to go with him, and I thought she was there. I thought she was there with his parents, his sister, and the kids. Apparently not. I did not know that. Her mom was going to be undergoing medical treatment in the Phoenix area, and he told her, home needs you. And they agreed that she would travel with him on the next leg of the tour to Colorado State University. So she was sitting in her mother's hospital room at 11:23 a.m. local time in Phoenix when she saw the number of her husband's longtime assistant, Michael McCoy, appear on her phone. She said she knew the words, he's been shot, before they were screamed at him. She knew. So she was already on a charter plane back to Scottsdale. Mr. Kirk's charter plane traveled back to Scottsdale to bring her to Provo. And he was pronounced dead when she was in the air. She said, I'm looking at the clouds and the mountain. She's telling this to the New York Times. It was such a gorgeous day, and I was thinking, this is exactly what he last saw. The sheriff met her in the hospital. He offered her the option of seeing the body, but said that he advised, told her that he advised against it. He explained that the bullet had ravaged her husband's neck. And she said, she recounted that she said, with all due respect, I want to see what they did to my husband. She said what she saw surprised her. She said she was braced for the worst, but what she saw surprised her. She said his eyes were semi-open, and he had this knowing Mona Lisa-like half-smile, like he died happy, like Jesus rescued him. The bullet came, he blinked, and he was in heaven. And she had not been able to kiss him goodbye when he left the house earlier that morning because he had left super early, so she did so then. So she got to kiss him goodbye. And there's more to this, but I just wanted to give you the meat of it and the fact that, you know, she was not with him, which I did not know. She also says sometimes she is able, quote, to see the Bible in such technicolor, to be so serene in saying thy will be done. I surrender to it. Do I like it? No. That was the love of my life, my soulmate, my best friend. But God's plan is always greater than ours. She said she sees a divine logic to his death. A young prophet whose fleeting life has achieved lasting resonance after his martyrdom, while others seek out conspiracies beyond the death of Mr. Kirk at the hands of a lone gunman, Ms. Kirk is not among them. She said, I'm a strong believer that this was God's plan, and so it's clear cut. It couldn't be more Charlie. And I've had many people ask me, do you feel anger towards this man? Do you want to see the death penalty? She said, I'll be honest. I told our lawyer, I want the government to decide this. I do not want this man's blood on my ledger. Because when I get to heaven and Jesus asks, eye for an eye, huh? Is that how we're going to do it? And that keeps me from being in heaven. That would keep me from being with Charlie. I just can't imagine. So I just wanted to share that with you. We have more coming up. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last.
And we're back. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes talking about the memorial for Charlie Kirk yesterday. So I did not pull audio for you, but Tucker Carlson spoke, and he really was all he focused on Charlie's Christian evangelist beliefs. And he said, I'm just going to read you some of his comments because we have a lot of audio coming up. He said, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Whatever happens next in America, I hope it's in this direction because God is here and you can feel it. And Charlie would have loved this, not just because he loved large groups of people, but because ultimately he was a Christian evangelist. And he continued to call Charlie a wonderful man who was obviously political, but had his eyes set on bringing people to Jesus as the only real solution. If you want to comment, because I will tell you, I think that people are right when they say that something's changing, that Charlie started something here. And I've seen post after post after post of people saying, I'm going to church for the first time ever. I've never been to church. How do I figure out where to go? What do I do? People, men showing off their suits because their wife bought him a suit because he didn't have anything to go to church and hasn't been to church in 20 years. Kids, young kids saying, I'm making my parents take me to church. I think that that's wonderful. I just hope it lasts. That's the thing that I hope is that, yeah, the Charlie effect lasts and it continues. I really do. And maybe it will. I hope so. He said Charlie was unafraid because he was not defensive and there was no hate in his heart. And that's exactly what Erica said. I know that because I got a little hate in my compartment in my heart. And I would often express that to Charlie about various people. And he would always say, that's a sad person. That's a broken person. That's a person who needs help. That's a person who needs Jesus. He said that in private because he meant it. And I do. I think Charlie meant all of those things. Stephen Miller also spoke, and he talked about the forces of evil made Charlie Kirk immortal. He said, the day that Charlie died, the angels wept, but those tears have been turned into fire in our hearts, and that fire burns with a righteous fury that our enemies cannot comprehend or understand. Is he right? Is it a fire that is going to keep going? Because like I said, you can disagree, but I've felt like something shifted. Something's changed. Something is different. Now, well, coming up, I have Democrats who are just going to defy it. And it's oddly the Democrats, the women. What is up with that, ladies? Who are, you know, out there and just don't care. And they're gonna go even harder and try to hurt you and shove it in your face. But for some reason, I think this time the momentum's on our side. In 2016, the momentum was definitely on their side. We were quiet. We didn't say anything. You know, we always had to with your friends. You always had to be silent. If you go to Thanksgiving and the family's all talking about how wonderful Joe Biden is and on and on and on, or, Hillary Clinton. And you had to sit there quietly. Couldn't say anything. I was at more than one dinner like that. And I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not doing it. I mean, people know where I stand, obviously, because of my job. I mean, no kidding. But I will never bring it up first, but if you bring it up and you start talking, I'm not going to be quiet. Why should you be the only voice? Why should you guys only be the ones who have the right to free speech? Charlie's right to free speech was taken away from him. And it just really bothers me. He went on to say, and I kind of agree with this. The left cannot imagine what they have awakened. They cannot conceive of the army that they have arisen in all of us because we stand for what's good, what is virtuous, what is noble. And if you're trying to incite violence against us, those trying to foment hatred against us, what do you have? You have nothing. You are nothing. You are wickedness. You are jealousy. You are envy. You are hatred. You are nothing. You can build nothing. You can produce nothing. You can create nothing. We are the ones who build. We are the ones who create. We are the ones who lift up humanity. You thought you could kill Charlie Kirk. You have made him immortal. You have immortalized Charlie Kirk, and now millions will carry on his legacy, and we will devote the rest of our lives to finishing the causes for which Charlie gave his last measure of devotion. And one of the things one of my friends from England said to me was she was so shocked to see such high-ranking members of our government professing religion and urging religion. and urging people to get to know God. And yes, the messenger was Christian because that's what Charlie does, evangelical Christians. That's what it was. You know, the bands and the whole bit. Like when I go to Mass, there's no rock band, not in a Catholic church. It doesn't exist. So it was foreign to me. This whole thing was foreign to me. But I still get the message that, you know, getting right with God, getting to know God is a good thing. And she was very surprised to see such high-ranking members, the vice president, the president, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, Secretary of State, you know, the director of national intelligence, all getting up and speaking and saying these things. For her, very foreign. She lives in a country where, you know, if you say, "I love bacon" in front of Muslims, you can get arrested because you don't have free speech. Lastly, RFK Jr., said that Charlie always gave the biggest microphone to the people who were most passionately aligned against him because he believed we needed to talk to each other. And he talked about the recent death of his brother David, and he said he's learned that the grief never recedes, but the life expands around it, that hole in your heart. And he said, for those of us who were friends with Charlie, we don't need any evidence of the love of God because friendship is the best evidence that God loves us all. All right, coming up, Donald Trump, Erica Kirk, Elon Musk, Don Jr., all on the Todd Starnes Show.
At the Crystal Coast, you'll find unrivaled beauty and the perfect vacation for everyone in the family. Choose the 85 miles of beaches and 11 waterfront towns on North Carolina's uncrowded coast. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter with you. I'll be with you all week. I am so excited about that. I have not talked to you guys in a long time. If you want to join me, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, or KWAM. See what they did there? You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S in that. It's just Mary Walter Radio. And I will get your comments on air. I will try to multitask as best I can. All right. Speaking of that, Yitzhak reached out to me on X and says, the assassination gave new vigor to getting off our collective butts and stop basking in the Trump win. It's worse than ever now, and an all-out effort must be made to crush, yes, a violent but emotional word, the anti-American and anti-freedom lefty moves. So, there you go. And I think he's right. We can't just sit back and just go, yeah, Trump's winning, and then get beaten at the ballot box. We have to, if we really, really want to make sure that we keep winning and continue Charlie's work, we have to make sure we take away their power. You notice there was no rioting, there was no violence, because we're not them, we're different. We are different, that's fine, and I'm glad that we're different. I would have hated if anyone had done otherwise. By the way, Todd forgot to tell you where he is. You're probably wondering, where's Todd? Is he okay? Because that happens. Todd's fine. Todd is at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference. So it's so appropriate that we're talking about religion and faith right now. Let's go to cut nine. So Don Jr., and also I will tell you, Marco Rubio has a good sense of humor. I had no idea. But Don Jr. also spoke, and he did lighten it up a little bit, which I think is good because, you know, he didn't need everybody up there talking about the same aspect over and over because there were a lot of speakers there, hours of speakers. So Don Jr., livened it up a little bit, talking about his dad. Here he is.
Who's seen me on social media knows I'm far more likely to crack a joke or get myself in trouble for posting some grossly inappropriate memes than I am to shed a tear. I know this because I've even gotten the call from that guy a couple times. You know, Don, you're getting a little aggressive on social media, Don. Relax.
He He was pointing, obviously pointing to his dad, and his dad was just laughing and pointed back at him. That was it. All right. So speaking of his dad, let's start with cut three and we'll work our way down. Donald Trump had a lot to say. Now, I will tell you, he did what he does and he goes off the rails, right? He ad-libbed. So he took like a 20-minute speech and ad-libbed it into 40. He just did. And he did get a little campaigny talking about different things. And I was like, oh, pull it back. Come on. Read the teleprompter. Get back on track. But he would always try to bring, you could always say, like, he knew what he was doing. And he would bring it back to Charlie. All right. So here he is, Ed, talking about the attack on Charlie Kirk.
Charlie's murder was not just an attack on one man or one movement. It was an attack on our entire nation. That was a horrible attack on the United States of America. It was an assault on our most sacred liberties and God-given rights. The gun was pointed at him, but the bullet was aimed at all of us. That bullet was aimed at every one of us. Indeed, Charlie was killed for expressing the very ideas that virtually everyone in this arena and most other places throughout our country deeply believed in. But the assassin failed in his quest because Charlie's message has not been silenced. It now is bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and it's not even close.
Yeah, that gun was attack on all of us. That shot was a shot for all of us. He's right. They're trying to censor free speech. They're trying to stop free speech because they want to stop speech that they don't like. And we'll talk about Jimmy Kimmel coming up and that, and the irony in their wanting to stop. They wanting to stop free speech for one, but not for all, which I do find ironic. And I'll tell you why coming up. Here's more on Donald Trump cut four. And he's talking about Charlie and something special.
Soon award Charlie the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's the highest civilian honor. And we will do the ceremony at our beautiful White House in a very safe Washington, D.C., a place that Charlie truly revered.
And earlier, we know that Donald Trump had told Charlie Kirk that he thought that he would be president someday. And that's another reason why they had to silence him. Now, when I say they, I do mean obviously the left as a whole. They hated him. Some of them, the leftists. You know, there are, like I said earlier, there are some true liberals. They're liberal in the sense of the term, like Bill Maher. He's all for discussions and exchange of ideas, and we can disagree, but it doesn't mean that I hate you. And that was Charlie. But the leftists can't do that. They're the ones who, you know, are out there setting their hair on fire all the time and everything's a crisis. Everything's terrible. Everything's horrible. You're Hitler, you know, that kind of stuff. And it wasn't long till they started right back with that. There wasn't even a hot break on that. Now Trump is going to talk about Charlie as a person and the relationship that they had between the two of them and the give and take between them. Cut five.
Sometimes the night before a big event, the other side of the country, and it asked me, it'd say, do you think you could come and speak at the event? The following day, right? I'd say, Charlie, give me a breath. I'm the president of the United States. You want me to travel 4 hours by plane? And, you know, sometimes I did it. He was a very good guy. He was a very convincing guy. He didn't stop, but he would ask for things like that. Sir, could you be tomorrow in California? I said, Charlie, give me a break, please. He just wouldn't stop, and he succeeded. But I almost always went because you never wanted to let Charlie down. He worked so hard. You just didn't want to let him down. I felt guilty. He'd make me feel very guilty. As president, many people asked me for things, but Charlie was one of the few who always gave more than he took. He was a giver, much more than a taker.
Yeah, that's the kind of person Charlie was. He was constantly, I mean, 31 years old, two kids, 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And just didn't stop, just kept going and going and going. That's somebody with a mission, right? Like, and we all know someone like that. And they're definitely, there was something about him. And there, these people come along. Some of them make national, reach the national stage. Others are maybe more local. But we all know somebody like that. Now, this next cut, cut 6, I think this is one of those clips that the left is going to try to use to denigrate the right and the president and Republicans in general. Listen to what he says about Charlie here.
Charles James Kirk was heinously murdered by a radicalized, cold-blooded monster for speaking the truth that was in his heart. He was violently killed because he spoke for freedom and justice, for God, country, for reason, and for common sense. He was assassinated because he lived bravely, he led boldly, and he argued brilliantly without apology. He did what was right for our nation. And so on that terrible day, September 10th, 2025, our greatest evangelist for American liberty became immortal. He's a martyr now for American freedom. I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk, and neither now will history. Because while Charlie has been reunited with his Creator in heaven, his voice on earth will echo through the generations, and his name will live forever in the eternal chronicle of America's greatest patriots. He will live forever.
I can already hear the keyboards of the leftists talking about how it was a Christian nationalist assembly. Because they're always saying that, you know, the right is a bunch, it's Christian nationalists. They want everybody to be Christian, and the Christian nationalists, because that's the new thing. They always have to find a name, that label. They always need a label. That's part of their thing, is you have to have a label. So you're a racist, a misogynist, an Islamophobe. What else am I? I'm trying to think of all the things they tell me. I'm homophobe. I love that I'm a misogynist, which is awesome. You know, and on and on. So they always have to have a label. So Christian National, you watch, that's going to be the new label. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It just doesn't bother me because they don't have anything. Stephen Miller was right. They don't have anything. They don't make anything. They don't do anything. All they do is resist. That's it. They don't do anything. Remember the good old days when they were like moving forward, like they were progressives. And I would always say, what are you progressing towards though? Like what's happening? What's the movement that you're progressing? And nobody knew. So this is going to be the new label. You watch it. That's exactly what's going to happen. We have more with Donald Trump coming up. We also have some with Elon Musk and also, of course, Erica Kirk. And then we'll move on and we'll talk about the Democrats' response to all of this. Cause you know, they're really nice. They're fun people to be around. So that's next on the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. I am Mary Walter sitting in for Todd. And Todd wants you to know that the Middle East is a powder keg, and with Iran and Israel at war, with America on the brink, your savings could take a hit. And that's why he trusts Vault U.S. Gold. Now, the folks at Vault U.S. Gold are American patriots. They're protecting your wealth with physical gold and silver. As oil prices surge, markets falter, gold's hitting highs, $3,452 an ounce. History proves in chaos, precious metals shine. With Vault U.S. Gold, they can seamlessly roll over your 401k or IRA into a gold IRA, or you can get gold and silver delivered directly to your door. No hidden fees, no shenanigans, just expert guidance. So don't wait for the next crisis. Call Vault U.S. Gold at 1-833-511-4600. 1-800-273-9393 or visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes. You can secure your future now. Folks, if you're concerned, give U.S. Vault Gold a call. Vault U.S. Gold a call, because in uncertain times, gold and silver stand strong. That's 1-833-511-4693. All right. I'm Mary Welter. As I said, in for Todd. 901-260-5926, talking about the memorial for Charlie Kirk. Let's go to Chris in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on WHKP. Chris, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Hi.
Hi. Well, welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
It's so nice to hear your voice. I like it when you come. You know I love Todd, but I like it when you're there, too, because you have such a good personality and a good speaking voice. I have my picture in my mind of you, and I can usually do that pretty good. You're welcome. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but nobody's mentioned it, but Erica Kirk is pregnant with the third baby. Was that God's plan or what?
I don't know how to tell you this, but she's not pregnant.
Oh, well, I heard that.
Yeah, no, it's going around. It's just a rumor. There's a picture, apparently, of her, you know, crying, holding an ultrasound and everything. And it's AI-generated, because if you saw her on stage, she's not visibly pregnant at all. And this picture shows her visibly pregnant, and she's not. So she has not announced anything, you know, so I don't, unless she comes out and announces something, there is nothing to support that right now. Everything I've seen says that it's false and part of a misinformation circulating on social media. So,
well, I'm glad
who knows?
I
maybe it is. But the image that's generated, she's holding her stomach, and you can clearly see it. Now, when you saw her yesterday, she's skinny as a rail.
Yeah, she's such a beautiful woman.
I know.
She did so good with her speech, and I never cried so many tears in 10 days before in my whole life.
For someone you've never met, right?
I know, her or Charlie. I wish I could have seen him in person and her in person.
Yeah, no, well, I think you feel exactly the way most of us feel. We all were part of that, and it's tough. It's really tough. Thank you so much for calling. Chris, it was great getting to talk to you. I really appreciate that. Thank you for listening to the Todd Starnes Show. We appreciate it when you do that. All right. Well, let's go to Trump. We have one more cut with Donald Trump. And this is him kind of like he's taking it out here at the end. And to what Chris was just saying about, she says, I haven't cried so much in 10 days. Here's the president.
Today, Charlie Kirk rests in glory in heaven for all eternity. He has gone from speaking on campuses in Wisconsin to kneeling at the throne of God, where he is right now. We grieve for the friend and leader that we have lost, but we go forward strengthened by his faith and bolstered by his courage and inspired by his example to defend the country he lived for the freedoms he died for, and the values in which he so deeply believed. He believed in values that we should all believe in.
You know, I think that's part of the appeal of Charlie for the younger generation, for Gen Z. The values, you know, bringing that back. We miss that. We skipped the values, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with raising women up, which was a good thing, like getting young girls in science and all that kind of stuff, which they weren't really involved in previously as much. You know, everything was geared towards the boys. But in doing so, we pushed our boys down. In an effort to bring our girls up, we pushed them down. And that's why I think you saw in the last election so many young men under the age of 30 voting in their first election. It voted for Donald Trump. And it wasn't just white young men. It was Hispanic. It was black. It was across the, you know, everything you could possibly, every color combination you could find. They were voting overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. And I think it's because, you know, think about it. A lot of young men don't have a role model in their lives. They don't have a man in their lives. We have to change that. I think a lot of young people see that and say, wow, I wish I had normal back. And we don't, social morals and the way we treat each other has really degraded, especially since COVID. So we think that these young men and women, and some of the women too, you see some of them coming back, but they're more likely to be left, but coming back, you know, wanting some kind of normality, some kind of guide of how I'm supposed to live, because they didn't have it growing up. And the young boys were told you're, you know, toxic because of your masculinity. Your masculinity is toxic because you're white. You're toxic. You know, this is, you're racist because you're white, and on and on. And so I think that that's maybe the drive. And Donald Trump nailed it in that one. He really did. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to go on to the Democrats. And we're also going to talk about Jimmy Kimmel, all coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom portable speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights because, let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.
Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Todd is back with you next week. He's in L.A. at the Spiritual Leadership Council, so not to worry. He will be back. You're not stuck with me forever, I promise. I want to bring in Elon Musk here. Super interesting. He, as I said, he spent some time with Donald Trump at the memorial, and I loved that he got back together with Donald Trump. Charlie had really wanted that. Charlie was pushing for that, and it was really great. It was really, really great to see. So I don't know who it was. It was a foreign news outlet that asked him a question, and they asked him, why was Charlie killed? Here's his response.
He was killed because his words made a difference, because he was showing people the light, and he was killed by the dark.
Wow. How prophetic is that? I mean, like, that was just so beautifully said. He was killed because his words made a difference. He was killed because he was the light, and he was killed by the dark. It was amazing to me. I thought, wow, I never expected that coming out of Elon Musk, right? Like, he's not a wordsmith. He's not. He's very awkward. So to hear that coming from him, it's like, oh, I got to get that. That's crazy. All right, lastly, I just want to go to the moment that everyone talked about, and this is the strongest woman I think I've seen in my lifetime. I really do. This is Erica Kirk. And she came out on that stage. I don't know how she... And by the way, I don't know how she looks so good crying. Like, she's the only woman I know who looks good just drenched in tears. I don't know how she does it. But she did. And this was the moment that everyone... I think, again, this is one of those moments where I think everything just kind of shifted in the room. And here she is, Erica Kirk.
My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man, on the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
How many of us could do the same thing? Now, Donald Trump openly admitted during his speech, and I thought, uh-oh, here's another one they're going to use. He said, you know, she forgave her opponent, and she forgave the man who killed her son, and her husband, excuse me. And he said, I hate my opponent. He goes, I don't want my opponent to win. I don't. Now, he's also, and I thought, oh, they're going to use this against him. But to me, Donald Trump was speaking more in, you know, politics and business, my opponents. But because you don't want them to win, right? You don't wish them the best. You don't want them to win. You know, this is, it's a sport. Politics, business, those types of things are a sport. So I know that the left is going to use this again. He goes, I hate my opponent. And I thought, oh, he goes, I have hatred in my heart. I don't love, I hate. And he was talking, really trying to give her props for what she was doing. And I was like, I just see how this is going to backfire because they're going to take it out of context. But man, how many of you could do that? I don't know if I could do it. Not you know, not even 2 weeks after they've murdered the love of my life. I don't know if I'm that good of a person. Maybe down the road. I don't know. You know, I and it's a character flaw for me, but I'll admit it, and maybe you can relate to this, but there are people who have done me dirty, and they did it knowingly, and they did it on purpose, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need you in my life. I just don't. And so I don't deal. I don't have contact with them. I'm not dealing with them. I want nothing to do with them. And I'm not saying she would, but I also don't know, because some people, you know, have come through your life and changed your life against your will forever. And I just don't know. I'm clearly not as good as Erica Kirk. I'm really not. Because I don't think that I could do that. I just don't think I have it in me. Okay, let's move on. This is very interesting. It's cut 10. This is Van Jones from CNN. And he is with Anderson Cooper. I'm like, the guy with the white hair, Anderson Cooper. And Van Jones discovered something after Charlie was assassinated, and I want you to hear the exchange because it's an emotional Van Jones.
This is extraordinary. So this was received the day before he was killed.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we were beefing. I don't know. We were going at it online, on air. And then after he died, after he was murdered, my team called and said, Van, he was trying to reach you, man. What? And what was he doing? Dialogue. Let's be gentlemen together. He says, let's disagree agreeably. So I'm sitting on this and I'm watching the whole country talk about civil war, censorship, justifying murder about this guy. This guy is reaching out to his mortal enemy saying we need to be gentlemen, sit down together and disagree agreeably. And the next day he's killed. And I've sat on it long enough, and I just said, you know what? We're going to Memorial Weekend for this man. We disagreed. Everybody knows. We were not friends, okay, at all. But you praise the good when it's time to memorialize somebody. And what he did, and I didn't even know it, was good. He was not for censorship. He was not for civil war. He was not for violence. He was for dialogue, open debate and dialogue, even with me, even with me.
Yeah. How touching when someone actually reaches out to you in good faith and says, hey, I know we're having this argument, but I'm willing to have a reasoned debate, like two adults, and takes down the heat and lets that person realize, hey, you know, this is not in good faith. We're not really discussing. We're just yelling at each other. How that lands. And maybe it would have landed differently for Van Jones had Charlie not been assassinated. But it would have been good to see. It would have been interesting to see how that would have played out had they met. Yitzhak reached out to me at Mary Walter Radio on X. There's no S in that. It's Mary Walter Radio. And he said, is anyone inspired to start tabling Charlie style? I am now president of the Broward Jewish Republican Club. We will be making roving tabling at various night spots to engage the youngins. Voter registration as well. We will have muscle present. That's great. Go out. Somebody's got to fill the void. And he said, yes, Erica looked good even when crying. She did. I don't know. As a woman, you look at that. I'm not the only one. But you look at that and you just wonder how is she doing this? Yitzhak said she had guts that I could not muster. Funerals of mom and dad, I lost it. She is steel. So let's go to AOC because, you know, why would we have any kind of sense of morality or compassion? And she's talking about the resolution that was passed honoring Charlie Kirk. And she's speaking about it on the floor of the House. And remember, they have this, what is, I forget what the rule is, but it allows them to just lie with impunity, which I don't understand why they have that law, but they're allowed to do that, which is how Adam Schiff was able to just sit there and lie about certain things about Donald Trump, especially in relation to January 6th. And they can lie anytime anyway, and they're never held accountable, so they don't even need a law. But here she is. This is AOC on this House passed resolution honoring Charlie Kirk.
We should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was. A man who believed that the Civil Rights Act that granted Black Americans the right to vote was a mistake. Who, after the violent attack on Paul Pelosi, claimed that, quote, some amazing patriot, unquote, should bail out his brutal assailant. And accused Jews of controlling, quote, not just the colleges, it's the nonprofits, it's the movies, it's Hollywood, it's all of it, unquote. His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans. Far from the working, quote, working tirelessly to promote unity, unquote, asserted by the majority in this resolution. It is equally important that Congress does unite to reject the government's attempt to weaponize this moment into an all-out assault on free speech across the country. All in the name of Charlie Kirk.
So, you know, she talks about the Civil Rights Act, and they're using that a lot. You know, he said the Civil Rights Act was a mistake. What he said... Because what they do is they lie by omission and they cherry pick a little bit, and they'll never give you, if you ask someone, I did it today, yesterday, I was like, could you post the whole context? Could you post the whole quote, the whole video, watch post it, so that we can see it in context, and you're not just taking a little bit out of it. And of course they never do. Because if they do, it proves that what they did was cherry pick in order to lie. And she did the same thing. Talking about the Civil Rights Act, Charlie said it should have been one page. He said, because now it is being used, it was too encompassing, it's too broad, it just should have been for racial issues, right? Like, you cannot discriminate on the basis of race. Now it's being used as an excuse to allow boys access to girls' locker rooms. It's being used to allow boys to compete on girls' sports teams and harm the girls. So he, if you listen to the entire quote, then you would realize that he was saying that he thinks the Civil Rights Act was necessary and it was a good thing, but he felt it was too long, it was written poorly, and it should have been just one page. That's not saying that you know, what AOC said about that it was a mistake. He said it was a mistake in the way in which it was written. So the attack on Paul Pelosi, he said that he thought that the, here's what he said, the He also said, I'm not qualifying the attack. I think it's awful. But he asked why the attacker was held without bail. And he said, you know, maybe somebody could go and... why the attacker was held without bail, claiming in Chicago someone can commit murder and be out the next day. So why was he being held with bail? Why was there bail on the attacker? He goes, I don't know. Maybe, he said, but if some amazing patriot out there in San Francisco or the Bay Area wants to be a midterm hero, someone should go bail this guy out. Because he said, you know, in Chicago, wouldn't even be held. And he's right. And I think what that was, if you watch the video, he's joking about it because we had our vice president with bail funds to hawk him a bail fund to get out the rioters from the Summer of Love from 2020. Nobody even blinked an eye on the left about that. So you have to go into the context of these pieces. But of course, if you do, it doesn't serve their narrative. So they don't. All right, we've got Ilhan Omar coming up. She's a real piece of work. And we also have Jasmine Crockett, another one. Oh, and the cut about Jasmine Crockett Just notice what is different. That's all I'm going to say. Just notice, see if you can spot what's different in this clip with Jasmine Crockett. So that's coming up. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to The Todd Starnes Show. Mary Walter in for Todd. You know, the First Amendment's under attack, but did you know that you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why Todd is proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So join Todd. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. All right, freedom of speech. The left seems to be very fond of it in certain situations. So they're all upset about Charlie Kirk. You know, they're upset about Charlie Kirk, but they're not upset about Charlie Kirk. And one of them who's not upset is Ilhan Omar. And this is on CNN. And she's telling, she got into it with Caitlin Collins. And I didn't even include that audio because she's just yelling. She is brazen. She, like, I'm all for standing up. But man, she is, to me, just, she's just disgusting. This is Cut 12 with Ilhan Omar.
I just think it was the video where it called him Dr. Frankenstein and said his monster shot him through the neck. I mean, obviously, this is a person. And looking at this, this is someone who was a husband and a father. And in the days after his shocking death that happened as a result of his views or happened as a result as he was sharing his views publicly with people, that people found it jarring to hear such criticism of that in the immediate aftermath.
What I find jarring is that there are so many people willing to excuse the most reprehensible things that he said, that they agree with that, that they're willing to have monuments for him, that they want to create a day to honor him, and that they want to produce resolutions in the House of Congress honoring his life and legacy. It is one thing to care about his life because obviously so many people loved him, including his children and wife. But I am not going to sit here and be judged for not wanting to honor any legacy this man has left behind. That should be in the dustbin of history, and we should hopefully move on and forget the hate that he spewed every single day.
What's so interesting is that when she, twice now, is brought up for censure for which the hateful things that she has said, Republicans cross the aisle to vote with the Democrats to not censure her. She's a hypocrite, an absolute hypocrite. And we allow them to be hypocrites. The right allows it, and we have to stop enabling it. We have to start holding them to their own standards, to the standards that they have insisted on. You know, when Jimmy Kimmel got, when Jimmy Kimmel was canceled, and we'll talk about that coming up, you know, the left was all enraged until their old tweets started coming back at them. Because they're hypocrites. All right, coming up, Jasmine Crockett. And you're going to want to hear this. I know we all hear Jasmine Crockett rant and rave because that's what they do. And notice it's all the women. It's the AOC. It's Ilhan Omar. It's Jasmine Crockett. They're all in your face, like loud. And they think that just by screaming and yelling and throwing a tantrum and acting like an eight-year-old is effective. And it kind of is because the Republicans all sit back and go, oh. All right, so Jasmine Crockett, totally different Jasmine, coming up on The Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. Todd is at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference. And I'll be with you all week, but Todd will be back next week. By the way, I keep forgetting to tell you, I will be on Newsmax Television today, 5:15 p.m. Eastern Time on the Chris Salcedo Show. I'm usually there every Monday on the Chris Salcedo Show, and then sometimes I pop up elsewhere during the week, sometimes on Todd's show. Never know. And then my podcast is on Tuesday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Different guests, sometimes no guests, but you are always a part of it because it is a live cast and you can leave comments and ask questions if you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, or Getter. That's where it is carried live. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. You can also find me on X at Mary Walter Radio, no S. And then the audio for my podcast will be up usually a day or two later on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. Again, Mary Walter Radio. Check it out. Todd's in there. Grace is in there. Ben Dieter's in there. Todd's been on twice. Grace and Ben were each on once. So you could check them all out. They both move on to other pastures. So let's go back to the Democrats' reaction to the memorial yesterday and the targeting of Charlie Kirk and Jasmine Crockett. Now listen. Listen to Jazzy here. Because here she's not Jazz. Here she seems to be Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. She's on CNN's State of the Union with host Dana Bash. And talking about Charlie Kirk, listen to what she has to say, the way she says it, especially. It's next. Here it is.
On that note, I do want to turn to something that you heard the senator just say, which is he was talking about a resolution that came before the House this past week honoring Charlie Kirk. And there were 58 Democrats who voted against it. You were one.
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely. You know what? One of the things I do want to point out that's not been laid out that honestly hurts my heart is when I saw the no votes, there were only two Caucasians. For the most part, the only people that voted no were people of color, because the rhetoric that Charlie Kirk continuously put out there was rhetoric that specifically targeted people of color. And so it is unfortunate that even our colleagues could not see how harmful his rhetoric was specifically to us. And I can tell you that a month prior to him passing away, he had actually gotten out on his podcast. I wasn't aware of this at the time, but he got out there and he was talking negatively about me directly. So if there was any way that I was going to honor somebody who decided that they were just going to negatively talk about me and proclaim that I was somehow involved in the great white replacement, yeah, I'm not honoring that kind of stuff, especially as a civil rights attorney and understanding how I got to Congress, knowing that there were people that died, people that were willing to die, that worked to make sure that voices like mine could exist in this place. So to me, just like we wanted to make sure that those Confederate relics were taken down, the idea of a new age relic being propped up was something that I just could not subscribe to. And it is unfortunate that more of my colleagues, even on my side of the aisle, could not see the amount of harm that this man was attempting to inflict upon our communities.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk's a racist. We're back to that. Only two Caucasians voted against it because, anyway, so you heard the absurdity in all of that. I don't need to explain it to you. But the reason I wanted to play that for you was the way in which she spoke. Did you notice? She was not Jazz there. She wasn't playing that part. I'm convinced that she and Ilhan Omar, well, maybe not so much Ilhan Omar, because I really think that's the way she is, AOC, some of the other ones, they play this role. And she does a lot in order to get attention. She wants to get attention because she wants to move further. This is her career now as being a politician and living off the taxpayer dime. They all do it, both sides. They get in there and we're never getting them out, which is why we need term limits. But she's out there. Suddenly, she understood sentence structure. She understood grammar. She has command. Her accent's totally gone. And she either had her lawyer hat on or what, but it just goes to show me, maybe you disagree, But it goes to show me that Jazzy Jazz, when she gets in Congress and she's showboating, is exactly what she's doing. She's playing a part. She's got a shtick going on, and it's not really her. That's not who she really is. She's playing to a group that she, which I happen to think, by the way, is very racist. She thinks that this group, you know, her quote unquote base, that, you know, they can't speak properly. They, you know, they have this whole thing going on that she mimics and plays as a role. That's insulting. She's not who she really is. In that interview, she was. She didn't have the long eyelashes on. She was Jasmine Crockett there. Not the way you see her, disrespectful, etc., on the floor of the House where she's jazzy. And I thought that was just so telling. And it also, to me, just negated everything that she thinks, especially about Charlie Kirk. Anything she had to say was just totally negated in that moment, at least for me. Okay, let's head over to Jimmy Kimmel. So they're all upset because Jimmy Kimmel got canceled. Now, what's interesting is they're like, oh, Donald Trump did this. Donald Trump forced him to be canceled. And I was like, I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama, the Obama-Biden administration, spied on James Rosen and his family. They were spying on conservative reporters, and you guys didn't say a thing about it. I'm old enough to remember when the Biden administration was upset that Facebook wasn't censoring more than they already were. I got thrown off Facebook just before the election in 2020 because, you know why? I posted a piece from Fox News. I just posted the link, Fox News, about voting in New Jersey. And part of the article that I posted said that because they're mass mailing out, because it was during COVID, you know, the excuse for just flooding the field with all these ballots, that all of these ballots were out there. So if you wanted, they were recommending that you vote early so that somebody can't vote under your name. Right? Like you don't want to get there and find out that you couldn't vote. And it had how to vote in New Jersey was in it too. I got banned from Facebook because of that. I'm very rarely on Facebook now. You know what? Screws. Zuckerberg sat and told Congress that they were pressured by the Biden-Harris administration, or by, actually at the time, I guess it was the Obama-Biden administration. No, would have been Obama. Would have been Biden-Harris. Anyway, to censor all this stuff. And then what about the censoring of COVID? They cheered when Donald Trump was thrown off X because he lies. He's a liar. We can't have him spreading lies on social media. He deserves to be tabled. It's exactly what they did. But now that Jimmy Kimmel was trashed, Jimmy Kimmel lost his job for absolutely blatant falsely lying in front of his audience. But that's not why. First of all, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't funny. It wasn't a propaganda. It wasn't a joke. It was purely his opinion. But you had affiliates, you had two syndicators that said, no, enough is enough. We're not doing this. We're not serving our constituents, their viewers. And Brendan Carr was on with Sean Hannity the day the suspension was announced. And he said, broadcasters are different than any other form of communication. And he pointed to the affiliate groups, the Nexstar and Sinclair. And they announced they would no longer carry Jimmy Kimmel live. And he said that the stations acted appropriately because they were standing up to serve the interests of their community. And over the years, the FCC has walked away from enforcing the public interest obligation. And he said, I don't think we're better off as a country for it. So you had two syndicators or two affiliate groups who said, we're not carrying this anymore. This does not serve our viewers, our people, and that's part of our license. We're not doing it. Besides, he was ranked third out of Colbert, Fallon, and Kimmel. He was third in the ratings, so he was not doing well in the ratings. His ratings have been steadily declining because he's not funny, but the cost of the show was going up. So just like Colbert, they're bleeding money. So I just think personally that they use this as an excuse to get rid of them. That these two groups said, we're not carrying it anymore. So now Ted Cruz said, this is a warning. He said conservatives are going to regret setting this precedent. And the precedent, because Donald Trump said, you know, we should look what happened. We should get rid of this guy. And then Brandon Carr saying, well, we could look into this. Shouldn't have come from the administration, but it is no different. They said it out loud, but they didn't have a hand in it. Those two affiliate groups came forward and said, we don't want this anymore. They told ABC, we're not airing this because of what he said, because it doesn't serve the public interest of our audiences. And they're in like middle America. They're small media groups in middle America. And I can see where Jimmy Kimmel doesn't serve their audience. They don't have any ratings for him. One of them was going to run reruns of some old TV show. They said we would get better ratings. More people would watch that than watch Jimmy Kimmel. So they're serving their best interest. But it's okay that, you know, Democrats, that Obama and Biden urged censorship. We know they did it. We know that they urged censorship and got the censorship. Hunter Biden's laptop, famous. People were thrown off X, thrown off social media for daring to print what we know was the truth. But Donald Trump will be held accountable because, you know, he said it out loud that Jimmy Kimmel should be thrown off for what he said. So the double standard lives forever. Coming up, Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City. And she's also, this is what bothers me with this. Cynthia Nixon is also on this great show that I love called Gilded Age. I love it, love it. It's on HBO. And now I'm going to have to stop watching it because of her, because of what she demands. So I will tell you what she's demanding coming up here on the Todd Stern Show. I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd Starnes. It's been so great to be with you. I get to be with you all week. You know, I like it so much that I'm going to just stay here all week. That's it. I don't care if Todd comes back. I'm staying with you all week. We're just talking about the left's hypocrisy, which, of course, is a lot. And we're talking about it in relationship to Jimmy Kimmel. And Kamala Harris weighed in on the ABC's decision to pull Jimmy Kimmel Live off the air indefinitely. And she said, "What we are witnessing is an outright abuse of power. This administration is attacking critics and using fear as a weapon to silence anyone who would speak out. Media corporations, from television networks to newspapers, are capitulating to these threats. We cannot dare to be silent or complacent in the face of this frontal assault on free speech. We the people deserve better." So Elon Musk goes, "Huh, I'm old enough to remember when you tweeted differently." So he goes back and finds it. And he brought up a 2019 tweet by Kamala Harris when Trump was serving his first term. She was a U.S. senator at the time, and she was running for VP, when she made this post on what was then Twitter, now X. "Look, let's be honest. Donald Trump's Twitter account should be suspended." And of course it was. So she's a hypocrite. You wanted Trump to be suspended, but you don't want Jimmy Kimmel to be suspended. But you want Trump, the president of the United States, to be suspended. They're just so such lovely, lovely people. Let's go to Cut 16. This is Cynthia Nixon. Now, we'll talk about this, but she is a show that I love to watch, and now I'm not going to be able to watch it, and I'm really upset about it. Cut 16, Cynthia Nixon. She was in Sex and the City. She was Miranda. I think she was Miranda with the red hair in Sex and the City. She's super, super liberal. Like, she's two kids. They're both trans. I don't know. All her kids are trans. So there's something going on there. And she did run for New York governor. She did lose the gubernatorial election. Thank you. But here she is with a note to her followers, a message.
"Hey, I just canceled my Disney Plus and Hulu subscriptions. And they asked me why I hit other, and I wrote, 'Because I believe in the First Amendment, reinstate Jimmy Kimmel now.' My whole family is really going to miss Abbott Elementary. We are really going to miss Only Murders in the Building. But you know what? We would miss the First Amendment a whole lot more. Don't go to the theme parks. Don't go on the cruises. Cancel your subscriptions now."
Yeah, so listen, you have the right. You have the right to boycott. I mean, look, at the right did it to Bud Light, right? The right did it to Bud Light. So they have the right to boycott Disney and boycott all those things. But what's interesting is you would think that someone who works in the industry would not advocate for this, because there's going to be a lot of people, if they're successful in damaging Disney and ABC and Hulu and all that stuff, if they're successful in that, they're going to be putting a lot of, not so much the actors, because they're all super wealthy, doesn't matter, but the other people, who, you know, run the cameras and do all the, you know, make the shows happen, the writers, all those people, you're going to harm them. But they don't think that far. And I remember that was brought up during the Bud Light controversy. Now, I never drank Bud Light, so I didn't didn't boycott it because never drank it, so it didn't matter. But they brought that up, and that was a really good point. You know, you're hurting the distributors, you're hurting the truck drivers, you're hurting those other people who had nothing to do with this. So we'll see what happens. I think she wants them to obviously reinstate Jimmy Kimmel. Will they? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, because he's third in the ratings. His ratings keep going down. He's not funny. If he's not bringing in money, and you have two affiliate groups that refuse to air his show, what are you going to do? It's a dollars and cents decision. It's not a matter of free speech. You don't have the right to a show. You don't have that right. And then lastly, along these lines, there was on Friday, a local ABC affiliate, KXTV, was someone drove by. There were like 15 people demonstrating outside of it. And a man named Anabel Hernandez Santana, 64 years old from Sacramento, was arrested after police identified his vehicle connected to the shooting. What he did was he let off three rounds into the window of KXTV. He could have killed somebody. Thank God no one was injured. He's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, shooting into an occupied building, and negligent discharge of a firearm. They have not identified a motive in the shooting. Really? I love this. We don't know the motive yet. And this will never really be a big thing, because he has been released from custody. He's due in court tomorrow. He's a lawyer who used to be a health policy analyst for the California Rural Indian Health Board, according to a LinkedIn account. He appears to be retired now. And a profile on X that bears his name is filled with posts that reveal negative feelings about Trump. One was published the day before the attack, saying, Where's a good heart attack when we need it most? Please join in my thoughts and prayers for the physical demise of our fearful leader. Another account further wished death on Trump. In another post, I support the death penalty for Tyler Robinson. Absolutely. As soon as the Fed criminal code is amended to add the death penalty for a president who refuses to step down after certified election results and or incites an insurrection. This has been a PSA for democracy. Thank you. So he's clearly a leftist. After the Charlie Kirk assassination, he wrote, Our thoughts and prayers are with Charlie Kirk and his family. May the prudence of his cost-benefit analysis for your 2A rights versus school shootings live on forever. So he's a leftist, a rabid leftist, and so this is going to die. You're not going to hear any more about this. But had it been someone who was a Trump supporter, which doesn't make sense, it wouldn't make sense if the Trump supporter had done that, it would be front page news everywhere. Everyone would be screaming about it. But not this because he is a leftist. All right, coming up, John Fetterman. Yeah, did not have John Fetterman as being the sanest or most commonsensical Democrat on my 2025 bingo card, but apparently that's how it's shaping up. So there's that. And Peter Doocy has his own show, and his first guest was Donald Trump, and we have some audio from that. It's coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you? I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. Todd is over at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference, and he will be there for the whole week. So yay. Hey, America's back. It's time to stand with a bank that shares your values, Old Glory Bank. They support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. No cancel culture, no woke nonsense, just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. So join the movement today at oldglorybank.com/Starnes and be part of something bigger. Trust the FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. Old Glory Bank. So I did not have this on my 2025 bingo card. So on the Sunday State of the Union with Dana Bash, she had a lot of Democrats on yesterday. And one of the Democrats she had on was John Fetterman, who, by the way, was using a filter. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, no, dude, you don't look like that. So somebody set up his video for him, his video feed. I don't know where he was, of course, in a hoodie. Which I don't understand why he can't dress like an adult, but he refuses to. So, okay, Like right now, you know, like when I'm hanging out, you know, right now, I at this point in my life, I'm comfortable. I am comfortable. Right. But if I go out to an event or if I have to go to like work, I don't show up the way I dress when I'm walking around my home, you know, but not him. And whatever. OK, works for him and he got elected. So there you go. But I did not have him being the common sense Democrat like that. That I never, ever saw that coming. The world's a weird place. So he was on with Dana Bash. And they were talking about the possibility of a government shutdown coming because the Democrats want to keep funding health care for illegal immigrants in the budget, and they want some other things in that budget. And so he so if they don't pass it, and it's that those things aren't in there. So the Democrats now have to decide if they're going to block it and then, you know, shut the government down. And there's, well, it'll be Donald Trump's fault. And like, I don't know if that's going to work this time around for them. They seem to have lost a little of their mojo. They seem to be a little lost. So I don't know if that's going to work for them. But listen to what John Fetterman says when asked if it would be wrong for the Democrats to shut down the government.
I've been, at least been one that says, hey, now I would love to restore a lot of those health care things. That's the right outcome, but that's a dangerous tactic if you are going to shut the government down for one of our policies too. I think it's the right thing to extend those healthcare things, but it is absolutely the wrong thing for a lot of reasons that we're going to shut our government down. I condemned it when the Republicans threatened to do that thing, and it's entirely wrong for us to do the same thing now.
So he's for extending your tax dollars to cover healthcare for people in the country illegally, which is lunacy. But he's for that. So he's still a Democrat. But he definitely has become more towards the middle. And what frightens me is that because he's being seen as like the moderate Democrat, could he actually run for president in 2028? Could he actually do that? Could you even imagine? Can you imagine him, you know, like lumbering up to Prince Charles? He'd have to put a suit on. It wouldn't fit well because he loves ill-fitted suits because he's not comfortable in them. But could you even begin to imagine that? And you can tell he still has a word find problem because he keeps saying that thing, you know, that those healthcare things. It's absolutely the wrong thing for a lot of reasons. I condemn it when the Republicans threaten to do that thing. So he definitely has a I'd love to restore a lot of those healthcare things. So he's definitely uses a word as a crutch. It's almost like Kamala Harris when she gets caught in that word loop, the word salad thing. That word salad thing. She'll say Venn diagram. She'll just use it over and over again, and she and she goes off on these tangents. The school bus, you know, the yellow school bus, and then off she goes. So it's almost the same type of thing, but not really. But yeah, I did not have John Fetterman on my 2025 bingo card for the most sensible Democrat in Congress. So we'll see if they actually do shut down the government. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. They love pinning it on Republicans. But here's the thing. They are on the wrong side of the 80-20 issues. The majority of Americans do not want to pay for health care for illegals, especially when they're fighting their own insurance companies to pay for their health care. They don't want to pay for anything. And they don't have to. They're like, nope, sorry, that's it. They don't have to pay for it. So they get away with it. And so I think most Americans be like, wait, you want me to pay for them too? They're like, I can't get anybody to pay for my stuff. You want them to pay? You want me to pay for them? No. So Democrats are on the wrong side of the 80-20 issues. And for whatever reason, they insist on sitting there. They just cannot. I think it's because it's Donald Trump. They just hate him so much. They just can't go to the other side of an issue. Donald Trump announced on Saturday that he is going to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Dr. Ben Carson. They were at Mount Vernon for the American Cornerstone Institute. They had a big dinner on Saturday night, and that institute was founded by Dr. Carson. So the president announced, he said, and this is during the event, and Ben Carson didn't know it was coming. He said, congratulations, Ben. He didn't know this. He didn't know it. I hope he's happy when he announced that he was going to be awarding him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which he also said he was going to award to Charlie Kirk posthumously. Now, Ben Carson obviously was the, he ran for president in 2016. I like him as a person. I had the opportunity when I was on Fox to be on a panel with him with Sean Hannity. What a humble, so smart man. Nice, friendly, genuine, but I don't think he's forceful enough to be president. I always said that about him. I really like him, and I think he's super smart. And I'm glad he served as a housing and urban development secretary during the first Trump administration. I'm really glad he did, because I think that that was a great job for him. He's super smart, can always use his brain, but I just don't think that that he's forceful enough. Yitzhak wants to know, if there is a short-term continuing resolution, doesn't that automatically extend the health care benefits? I think so. And then he said in quotes, they will take out Fetterman one way or another. Yeah, they'll do to him what they did to Eric Adams in New York, because Eric Adams, although Biden's not in power right now. Democrats aren't in power right now in that sense. A week after Eric Adams came out and he talked about the problem with immigration and how it's drowning his city, a week later he was raided by the FBI. So, and we're the fascists. Just remember that one. Every time they call you a fascist, just remember that. The Medal of Freedom was established in 1963. It's awarded to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interests of the United States, world peace, or culture, or other significant public endeavors. Trump gave it to 24 people during his first term. He's announced two other recipients since his return to the White House, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and also Charlie Kirk in there. So we'll see how many more he bestows. But so far, I'm like, all right, I'm good with the, I'm good with his choices. I'm sure he's so happy. I'm sure Donald Trump's so happy that I agree with his choices. Trump also warned Afghanistan. This is so, okay, so this is interesting. Got lost in the sauce because of all the craziness that's been going on. So on Saturday, on a post on Truth Social, he wrote, if Afghanistan doesn't give Bagram Air Base back to those that built it, the United States of America, bad things are going to happen. Now, not that I'm not one to correct President Trump, but it was built by the Soviets back in the 1950s. We improved on it. So if they're going to give it back to the people that built it, they could hand it back to the Soviets. Well, we just did what you said. So he might want to word that differently. And then the U.S., we claimed it in 2001 when the military went into Afghanistan following the 9/11 attacks. So technically, that was not a good post. He said, if they give it back, the United States of America, bad things are going to happen if they don't give it back. Now, he didn't elaborate. Now, before that, the president said the administration is trying to get the former U.S. airfield in Afghanistan back from the Taliban. And then when he was with Keir Starmer in the UK, he criticized the handling of the US withdrawal from Afghanistan under Biden and said he had a little breaking news. He said, we're trying to get it back. We're trying to get it back because they need things from us. And he didn't expand or really elaborate on what the Taliban needs from us. I don't know. He said, we want that base back. But one of the reasons we want the base is, as you know, it's an hour away from China, from where China makes its nuclear weapons. And on Saturday evening, he told reporters that the administration wants Bagram back right away. And if they don't do it, you're going to find out what I'm going to do. Taliban took it over, you know, during that wonderful withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Taliban captured the base 6 weeks after the United States beat feet July 1st under cover of darkness. That was so, you know, that was just so full of pride when we did that. Like, it was such a prideful event, you know, so brave to beat feet under cover of darkness and just leave it there. Earlier this year, we had White House hostage envoy Adam Boehler met with Taliban officials in Kabul while working to get an American hostage, George Glesman, released. Boehler, along with another U.S. envoy, Zalmay Khalilzad, met with the Taliban's foreign minister and reportedly discussed ways to develop bilateral relations between the two countries, issues related to citizens and investment opportunities in Afghanistan. So what Trump, I think, is going to do is what he always does, which is, of course, use the economy as leverage. But here's the thing. We try to do that, assume that the economy is going to drive some of these people like Hamas. the Taliban, I think they're super happy just living the way they live. And the Afghani people and the Pakistani people are just happy the way they live. They know nothing else. It's their life. And we can't make them want democracy. We can't make them want to change how they physically live. We can't do that. And we've tried it and it doesn't work. So I don't know if it'll work this time. If anybody can do it, Trump can, of course. But all right. So coming up, Gavin Newsom and Trump with Peter Doocy. That's coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Mary Walters sitting in for Todd Starnes. I will be on Newsmax. Can't be on TV. On Newsmax. On the Chris Salcedo Show. At 5:15 approximately, give or take. Sometimes they're late. 5:15 p.m. Eastern Time today on Newsmax TV. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, and they're leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Well, their mistake, your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow is offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. This is crazy, because I remember what I paid when I bought my MyPillows. Get a standard MyPillow for just $17.98. You want more? Upgrade to queen size for only $22.98 or king size for $24.98. Snag body pillows for $29.98. Versatile multiple-use pillows for just $9.98. Visit MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. So don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use the promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $17.98 while supplies last. I love my pillows, have to say that. Okay, let's go to Governor Newsom. He signed a mask ban aimed at ICE. He did this on Saturday, and he is very, very proud of it. This is Cut 17. Here's Governor Newsom.
It's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. Unmarked cars, people in masks, people quite literally disappearing. No due process, no rights in a democracy where we have rights. I'll be signing a bill, the first in the nation, saying enough. ICE, unmask, what are you afraid of? And I'm really proud of the state of California and our state of mind that we're pushing back against these authoritarian tendencies and actions of this administration.
What's interesting, though, is he doesn't ask Antifa what they're afraid of. They wear masks all the time. Leftist rioters wear masks all the time. They're the ones that started this. And Governor Newsom was the one who had some of the strictest masking laws in the country, strictest vaccine mandates as well in the country during the coronavirus pandemic, except for him, who we all know was seen at that wonderful restaurant, French Laundry, dining, having a great time when he was making everyone around him. The servers wore masks when they were serving him. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, DHS.gov, responded and said, "We will not comply with Gavin Newsom's unconstitutional mask ban at a time that ICE law enforcement faces a 1,000 increase in assaults and their family members are being doxxed and targeted. The sitting governor of California signed unconstitutional legislation that strips law enforcement of protections in a disgusting, diabolical fundraising and PR stunt." And probably can't do that. And let's go, lastly, Peter Doocy has a new show on the weekends on Fox. I believe it's on Sundays. And his first guest was the one and only Donald Trump. You know that Donald Trump really likes Peter Doocy. They kind of get along with each other, by the way. Peter Doocy, Villanova grad. I'll just throw that out there. And he asked him, it's interesting, he asked him something called Doocy's Dozen, or Half Dozen, Doocy's Half Dozen. And he asked him six questions that are just like short questions, short answers, and they're fun. And it's so interesting because I have been doing this when I have a political guest on my podcast. I'll ask them, I had Sean Spicer, and I asked him, you know, about his date to the prom. You know, have you ever been in touch with your date to the prom? And I had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West sent me a whole bunch of baby pictures and stuff. So here's Peter Doocy talking to Donald Trump, interviewing him and asking him, I think it's a really cute question.
Over in Europe, you were with business leaders.
Yeah.
Everything that you do, there is a business aspect to it.
Yeah.
What is the worst business to be in right now? The captain of a cartel drug boat in the Caribbean.
They're in trouble.
Or a late night network TV talk show host.
Oh, they're both in trouble, although Greg Gutfeld's doing great. You know, so I think I'd take that one by a long shot.
He said, oh, they're both in trouble. Good for him, and good for the shout out to Greg Gutfeld. Lastly, you probably didn't hear this story. In Nashua, New Hampshire, a crazed gunman just attacked a wedding reception. Now, we don't know if there's any connection to the people there or what, but police have charged a man named Hunter Nadeau. He's 23 years old. He's been charged with murder after they arrested him on Saturday night following a deadly shooting at the Sky Meadow Country Club. It's about 40 miles north of Boston. And it was just as they were all getting together on the dance floor for the bride and groom to have their first dance, this guy comes, you know, into the reception, storms in. He flipped off the guests and he shouted, "The children are safe, free Palestine," and just started shooting. Now, it's terrible that this man was killed, this Robert Stephen Cesari, 59 years old. It's horrendous, but what a miracle that more people were not killed. I mean, it's an absolute miracle. The uncle of the groom said, "We heard about six shots and everybody ducked for cover. The next thing you know, we're going into safe spots and things like that." Again, not clear if this was a targeted attack or random, but at least six people were hospitalized with injuries. And these injuries came from running away, seeking cover when they fled, that type of thing. And he is expected to be slapped. This Nadeau guy is expected to be slapped with additional charges stemming from the injured victims. We got a problem with young men in this country who are very angry. Maybe they should join Turning Point and work it out. I'm Mary Walter. I get to be back with you tomorrow. Appreciate you all for joining me here on the Todd Starnes Show.